Yo, you know what time it is, man. It's the Real Deal to Kill podcast. Man, we back with another one. Like, subscribe, rate, review on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, YouTube, all that, the whole nine, man. My boy Rudy's back with me.
Off the flap.
And we
off
got a flap. Special guest in the building, her third time on the show.
The beautiful, talented, just everything. Talented, smart.
Thank you, Rudy.
You know.
Thank you. What's going on, you guys? It's Jazz Anderson. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys. I'm really excited. Because I be watching the clips on Instagram and tuning into the podcast. And I'm like, I got to be on that again. So
You said something on the comment on Instagram last time. You was upset with Rudy. You had a bone to pick with him.
See, that's, I don't like this.
So go ahead and pick that bone with him. Well, even though I was on his side, but.
Oh, you switch sides now.
He's a flip flopper.
Yeah, really?
You know what I'm saying? Little do you know that me and Jazz are family.
That's cool.
So, you can't do that shit with her.
No, you know what's funny?
And don't play with her this episode.
Explain the part you was mad about.
Okay, so I saw.
Now, you see how? Hold on. You see how he tried to change the whole subject?
No.
Don't fuck with her today.
No, watch this. I'm finna get you. What's the part you was
I saw the clip on Instagram where basically Rudy was saying that as women, we have to take accountability when our men cheat. Now, I must say, I didn't see the episode in its entirety.
Right.
So, I don't know the topic and things of that nature, but your clip, I didn't really understand.
And on that same clip, that's the same one I was agreeing you with. So you can't be like, I'm flip-flopping. No, I was with you. I was like, yo, I've been agree with you on the part.
No, I was just saying in general this whole episode.
He just putting a disclaimer out there for you.
Because I know. I know you. But no,
Can you kind of explain real quick? Because I know you guys already talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind going further into it. But mainly just saying as far as when you're dealing with an individual that you are courting. Well, in this case, being courted by. Before you take that next step, you have to know fully what you're getting yourself into. You need to know that you know this individual. Because at that point, when you take that next step, you are taking a risk. And that risk is a personal risk that you take. You know, whenever you're dealing with somebody, it's an investment. Time, resources, money, all kind of things.
But not to cut you off, I've dated some people who have switched. So this whole court situation, we're great. And then we make it official, and then showing me sides to them that I've never seen. So I feel like at the end of the day, basically, if you cheat, that's a personal decision you make.
Yeah.
Your partner shouldn't have to take accountability, because women cheat too.
Well, no, I don't think, well, hold on, in the clip, I don't think I said when men cheat, you take accountability. I'm saying when things go.
That's what the.
See, that's how.
that
bullshit.
Yeah, that was that little bait. Yeah. But
I said when you're dealing with somebody, it doesn't basically become what you want it to be. You have to take some kind of responsibility if the signs were there. That's mainly what I'm saying. Even in the clip, I said if the signs are there, you have to take, you know, partial responsibility. Okay. Now, if they switch up on you,
I was gonna say that because that's totally different. And I had no idea. Like, he was the perfect gentleman, perfect guy. And then, you know, virgin was gonna wait, and he ended up cheating for, you know, he wanted to have sex.
Yeah.
But I had no idea because to me, he was telling me all along, no, we're gonna wait. I love you. You're gonna be my wife. So I can't fully agree with that. Now, I understand if there are people who have a rep. Maybe you should, as women, we need to say, okay, I have to take accountability. I dated this guy, so now if he does what all my friends told me he'd been doing in the whole city of Houston or wherever told me he'd been doing, I have to take accountability if he hurts me. But my guy was nothing like that. He was a great guy.
Well, no, when this is mainly when the signs are there.
Okay.
When the signs are there, like a lot of times, mainly we were talking about Akil in this situation before. He was dealing with a young lady, and the signs were there that she wasn't he wanted her to be. And I told him, you got to take some responsibility because you took the Batman cape on and said, hey. I mean, the Superman cape on and said, hey.
Yeah, you can't change nobody.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned about dating. You cannot change anybody.
Exactly.
You can grow. I feel like there are people, because I've been with certain people who have helped me grow. But at the end of the day, they couldn't change my morals, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's you, that's you. That's going to be you.
I fully agree.
Mm-hmm.
But on we're going to get to that. The experiment.
Yes.
The experiment. Hey, oh. I mean, you want me to?
No, you can start. You can start.
Okay, well, you know, the experiment. So, for the people who don't know, that me and Jazz have joined forces, mm-hmm. and we've been working on this project called The Experiment. It's really near and dear to both of our hearts. We've worked tirelessly on this project. Jazz, you know, do you want to give the full roundabout about how this project came about and, you know.
Right. Without giving too much away, though, but, you know, I felt like when most people have seen me, a lot of people say they've watched me on TV since I was 14. I think that's what is, like, so crazy to some people because that's the first time people saw me on Basketball Wives. And the last time they saw me, I was 22 or 23. So that's pretty much, like, almost 10 years mm-hmm. of watching me grow up. And I had released my first project called Separation Anxiety about 2 years ago because I wanted people to differentiate who they saw on TV with Jazz the lyricist. I ended up doing the BET Cypher in 2019, which was amazing. It was such a blessing.
Which was hard than a mother. I feel like she had the best cypher on it.
Thank you. Thank you. But I still felt like I wasn't getting, you know, the credibility in a sense. I was getting overlooked. I was still the underdog. So actually my mom was like, hey, I want you to experiment more. Really knock down boundaries. Really go beyond who you are as an artist. Because I can admit now, I was putting myself in a box. Because as a lyricist, we always want to bar you to death. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, you know, do this and be like that girl. I want to do one lane. So with the experiment, I think, you know, as you can be a testament to as well, we kind of just knocked down all the barriers. Yeah. And it's going to be a total shock, like a 180 for the Jazz that people have seen since she was 14.
And I think we even going to shock your mama with this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we're going to shock her too.
This is going to be interesting. This is going to be an interesting ride.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because I got to tell you, I still jam Prosper.
Thank you.
I still jam that song.
And that song is very dear to my heart as well. But yeah, with the experiment, it was more so just experimenting on, I'm growing up now, I'm 24, so I feel like we're all trying to find ourselves in this age range, and at the same time, just experimenting with my versatility in my music.
I like it. I'm looking forward to it.
It's gonna fuck your head up.
I'm with, like I always say, all I want for Christmas is a Rhapsody and Jazz Henderson featuring collab. That's, I've been saying that for 2 years.
Hey, look.
I'm manifesting. I've been saying it for 2 years already.
Hey, so that's all. The fact that you said it is going to happen.
Here we go.
It's so crazy because I met her at the BET Awards. She was very nice. And then we actually DM'd briefly. And she told me that I was next up. And that meant a lot to me. There's not a lot of female rappers who can make me feel like, oh, whoa, y'all watching me? You see me? You know, but when Rhapsody hit me up, it meant a lot to me. So
yeah.
So, like, what was your... Would you say that you got outside of your comfort zone with this project?
I definitely did. And I feel like I had to. I feel like as an artist, you have to expand. You have to grow. And, you know, even with the pictures that I released, people were, you know, I got some people saying, is this something you want to do? Or do you feel like the industry is making you do this? And I think that's what I love the most about the experiment is it's something that I wanted to do wholeheartedly. Yeah. No label had to hit me up and say, look, if you want to get signed, you got to do this. No one was in my ear. It was me saying, you know what? I'm 24 now. Let me grow. Let me embrace who I am as a woman and who I could possibly become.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know you were looking for, I know we were talking about this earlier before we started, like the state of like women's rap right now.
Yeah.
We in 2021 and, you know, we got the Mulattoes, the Megs, the, you know, Ken, the Man.
Erica Banks.
On B Bloodbath. I know Rudy been telling me about her forever.
Yeah.
You know, she's coming up. So now I think I asked you before, but like in 2019, but now we're in 2021. 2 years later, do you still feel the same way?
I love it. I feel like we're really putting a staple on the game. And I think that's really dope because when I was growing up, it was just... Honestly, Nicki Minaj, we only had one. I mean, don't kill me, but if I'm wrong, but for me, that is who I idolize. And that's pretty much the only female rapper that I heard nonstop on the radio, when I'm on MySpace, you know, Facebook, it was Nicki Minaj. So now for us to really see, you just named about 6-7 different female rappers. Off the top. And that's not even, you know, getting into the Rhapsodies, the Angel Hayes, you know, the ones who may be like the hidden gems in a sense. Yeah. So females were really putting a staple in the game, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
So Rudy always told me this before. Mm-hmm. He always said women is running the rap industry.
Yeah, we are.
You agree with that?
Right now we are, yes. I feel like if he would have said that maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I might have debated with him on it. But I feel like right now we're definitely the ones making the most noise, for sure.
No, this is the second, this is the golden age for women. I feel like this is the first time that women are the top earners. They're the top everything, even down to the lyricism. You know what I'm saying? I feel like this is a perfect time to be a female artist and be a lyricist.
Right.
This is a perfect time to be a lyricist. Yeah, because it's like the beginning of hip-hop again, if you ask me. The first wave was the Queen Latifahs, the MC Lights, the, you know, the Yo-Yos.
The Yo-Yo, I was going to say, she was actually my mentor at one point.
Really?
Shout out to Yo-Yo. Yeah, she gave me some great advice. I would call her. We sat on the phone for about hour and a half. She's very down to earth, very humble, and for me that was just dope to actually get it from someone who paved the way for me.
What's the best thing she told you?
I think it's to be true to who I am, and I get that from a lot of females who are staples in whatever they do. Yeah. So for instance, my mom, she's OG reality TV, was on one of the first Real Worlds ever and knocked down that barrier. Then she went into acting. She's an OG in that world. And she tells me as well, I got longevity because I never switched up.
Yeah.
I always stay true to who I am. And when I spoke to Yo-Yo, that's what she said. Like, you're you. And they're going to accept that. Mm-hmm. So stay true to who you are. And I think that's, you know, the greatest advice.
And you got your own show now.
The mix.
Yeah, the mix.
So it's actually not my own show.
What you on it, man? And on it, you a host. If you a host, I don't care if you're a co-host. It's still your show.
Like, this motherfucker's called The Real Deal with the Kill.
But I still get the keys to him.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's your shit. Own that mug, man. So talk about that.
Yeah, so it's on Fox Soul, which I just love because I always say it's created for us by us. Mm-hmm. And I think at a time like this, it's so prevalent for black voices to be heard. It's myself, Romeo Miller, Zynique, Anton Peebles, and Jamie Dubose. So pretty much, it's a millennial and Gen Z talk show.
Yeah.
So Jamie is 18, and I think the oldest on the show might be Romeo. I hope he doesn't kill me, but I think he's like 28, 29, I think. So he's the oldest, you know, so it's like millennial and Gen Z, and we talk about everything, and I think that's so dope because when I was watching TV, I never had a talk show I could relate with because it was like older white women. Yeah. And I was like, they can't tell me about what I'm going through. Right. Like, no. And then if it was a black woman, I felt like it was Oprah, you know, when I was growing up. But it was like, I felt like it was my mom talking to me.
As
young adults, we don't like that. Yeah. So I feel like, I know for a fact, because I get so many DMs from my age group, and they're like, yo, you really helped me with that. Because I was going through that. And oh my God, I didn't know how to tell my mom this, and I didn't know how to do that. And you know, it's like, we're really giving those gems and advice.
Yeah, well, we're in a different age now where social media is taking a big step. So we want to hear people that's relatable. We want to hear podcasts and talk shows that's relatable. There's no more daytime talk. My mom still watched The View, you know what I mean? But that's my mom.
I like The Real now. I will watch The Real every now and then. But yeah, podcasts are taking over. Like, I love what you guys are doing. And then I remember when Joe Budden, I think it was about, I don't know when he started his podcast, but it seems like it was all that people were talking about.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? People watching podcasts now? Because to me, that seemed like so old school.
Yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is really good. Then I tuned in to Drink Champs and I was like, yo, this is cool. Like, I would have never thought. So you're right. It is like reinventing the wheel. Like, it's coming back.
Yeah, because what's going on, people want to hear authenticity. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
They want to feel like they can relate to something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's why Joe Budden's podcast became what it was. Exactly. And also, you know, Charlamagne the God and individuals like that. Shoot, even Tax Stone.
Can't forget about Joe Rogan. I still watch Joe Rogan.
Hey, actually, him and Freddie Gibbs had a good podcast. I don't know if y'all seen it.
I didn't see it.
Bro, that was hilarious. I honestly want to say, even with the mix, I appreciate it because it feels like, well, for us, at least, because even when we was kids, 106 and Park was for kids. For teenagers.
Yeah, and it was music based.
Yeah, this is really reality based for us, and just even in everything, and also y'all being so transparent with a lot of things that y'all really don't have to be transparent about. You know? So it gives a lot of people a lot of hope and a lot of courage to walk on a daily basis their life, you know?
I appreciate that. Yeah, because it was crazy because people are like, when Romeo talks about certain topics, it's like, a lot of young girls had crushes on Romeo. So to hear him talk and be so open about things like, what? We're getting insight on that. When Zanique talks about that, I remember jamming Zanique when I was 11 or 12. So I'm like, you're absolutely right. We don't have to be transparent. Mm-hmm. For me, I was on TV since 14, and I was always, everybody tells me, we've never heard anything bad about you, because I'm just very, I've always been able to balance, like, TV world and my real life, which is very private. So the mix really was like a platform for me to be like, you know what, I'll be open for once, because I never know who it can help along the way.
And to be honest with you, Akil, I know Jazz on a personal level as well as a professional level. And I've been around a lot of people, and I haven't seen anybody really handle, you know, what she handles on a daily basis like she does. Seen people who don't even have the spotlight like she does, and they can't even function. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And she does it amazingly, because I know it's a lot of stress and a lot of things that come with her lifestyle. And she handles it like a true professional and like a true individual. You know what I'm saying? She's human at the end of the day. So, just letting people know, don't fuck with Jazz.
Facts. I'm on your ass. You heard it from him. You heard it from Ruth.
it's crazy, because I thought you was older than what you was.
Bullshit. I thought Jazz was my age.
Yo, I was saying, I was like, man. When you told me you were 20, I said, what?
Yeah, I'm 24. Like, a lot of people think that my sister is the younger one.
Yeah.
I think it plays into the fact that I'm taller than her. Like, people be like, wait, you're the younger one? I'm like, yeah. So it's weird, but yeah, you know, I think it was just the household I was raised in.
That's a good thing, though.
Yeah.
When you get called that you older than somebody, like, I always get thought out. People always think I'm older than what I am, like at least 3-4 years of my age, and it's like,
can I ask how old you are?
27.
Like, oh, okay.
27, but like I got older siblings.
See that. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I'm the youngest of four, so parents in 60s. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? My siblings in my 40s, so yeah. I got my friends that's my age. But then I still hang with my brother's people, so I get a mix of both.
Man, he's just an old ass nigga.
I'm an old head. I'm an OG. That's what it is. But hey, look, you ain't sitting in that red seat for nothing.
Okay, this is.
We're not gonna get to it yet.
We're not gonna get to that.
We're not gonna get into it yet.
I'm not getting to it right now. But I do want to touch on the topic that's been going around this week with Myles Leonard and the whole thing he said about the Jewish and everything. Yes. While he's playing a video game. I don't want to get into that part of it. Right. I want to get to the part where, in our culture, we like to cancel people out a lot, right, for anything that happens. But in their culture, like Julian Edelman, for example, he came out when he said about DeSean Jackson, and he was like, hey, he gave him some criticism, but he still was compassionate enough to be like,
DeSean Jackson, what happened with that? I didn't add it.
He basically had the same type of anti-Semitic word, whatever. And then Myles Leonard did the same thing, and Julian Edelman came out. So he's like the spokesperson in the sports world saying something. And, you know, I seen Max Kellerman on ESPN say the same thing.
Okay.
And I just want to get y'all points on, y'all opinions on where I could be wrong, but it's just, you know, we all agree or disagree. But, like, in my view, I'm thinking so, like, hey, while we like to cancel people out so quickly, but we really don't back it up. B. Simone, they try to cancel her. They try to cancel out.
And they try to cancel B. Simone because people tired of B. Simone.
Yeah. Right.
But they don't like her as a person.
Yeah.
And she's just annoying as hell. That's why people, I don't have a problem with her personally, but she, that, baby, not all that shit, shut the fuck up, because you got all these other women doing the same shit. But I don't have anything, I don't feel like that's worthy to be canceled. But people cancel her because they tired of it. Like,
but I feel like with the comment that she made, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the fact that she didn't want a man to work the 9-to-5.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Right. How do we educate that? Like, I don't know how to educate that. That's a grown woman making those type of comments.
Well, I listened to what she said, the full spectrum of what she was trying to say. And what she was trying to say is whatever you want it to be, you have to attract that. So she was saying, like, I live a life of entrepreneurship and X, Y, and Z, so I need a man that's an entrepreneur.
But that's not necessarily true, though. That was my only thing. Because I've dated guys who work 9-to-5s, and I've pretty much been doing my own thing, you know what I'm saying, self-employed. So I feel like I can't really agree with that.
Yeah.
And I also think with social media, it's about the way that you say, it.
And also, who's saying it.
Exactly. that a lot ties into it. So we didn't want to get that message from her, from her.
And the whole thing is, so the question is like, all right, so B. Simone was like the example. Mm-hmm. But like, as far as a whole in our culture, It's like a lot of people, we like to ride the wave. If we That's see true. Five people saying cancel, yeah, we're going to hop on up and, well, yeah, I agree with them. You cancel. Then y'all cancel. You know right. what I'm saying? Everybody just want to cancel. Right. And to me, I hate it because now it puts us in a spotlight where, like, we got to be perfect and nobody's perfect. Like, we got this platform now. If I say something that people don't agree with, are we going to cancel Real Deal With A Kill podcast? Right. He said one thing in the podcast that we don't like. But then the next week, I still got the same views. You still watching me. So everybody don't back it up. We just riding the wave when it comes to that. So we just speak because everybody got an opinion right now on social media. As opposed to, like, what Julian Edmonds is doing. It's like, hey, we're going to criticize you. What you said was wrong. That was ignorant. But let me invite you over to dinner. Let me let you hang out with the people I hang with. You're going to see our culture. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, just, fuck you. Nah, whatever. Yeah. Cancel.
And me specifically, that's how I've always been. Like, I don't really believe in the cancel culture, but I do think people have to take accountability. And they have to learn from their mistakes. So if you have somebody who's educating you on something, don't let it happen again. Especially when you're in the public eye, you can't. Because I always tell people, even though you didn't sign up to be a role model, you're in the public eye. You're a role model to somebody. So you have to go by those guidelines. So you can't just be saying stuff that is ignorant or, you know, rude and offensive.
And then, too, like you got a big,
I don't cancel people.
And you got a big platform. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do you ever think sometimes before, like, what you might say could rust my wrong way or could agree, somebody could disagree.
Yeah, and that's why when, you know, I got the audition for The Mix, I was a little worried at first because reality TV, you can kind of breeze by it in a sense. I know people always say the editing, but it's like if you don't give them something to use, they can't use it. But if I'm a co-host on a live talk show, that's right then and there. If I say the wrong thing, y'all got it. So for me, it was just about being truthful to my opinion, but also making it in a way that is, like, not offensive in a sense.
Right.
Because I think you have to be mindful when you're in the spotlight. You do have to be mindful.
I feel like that just showed his character and who he really was, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're playing a video game, like, people wanted to excuse it, but I feel like that's what you do in your personal life. He felt comfortable enough to
agree.
Say that.
Because also, you got, let's take in consideration, like, when Kobe made a gay slur, they find him $50,000, $500,000?
Exactly. They found him quite a bit.
They only find this dude $10,000 and suspended him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I feel like it's a double standard in that act because it's one of them, quote-unquote.
That's what I was going to say, because Nick Cannon lost everything. You know, black people, we like to say, he lost everything. No, he didn't lose everything, but lost his radio show for a bit and was on hiatus from another project he was working on. Yeah. So where was the quick education that they gave, what's his name?
Leonard? Miles
Leonard. Yeah, they gave him a quick educational lesson, find him, and now I guess he can go back to playing in a week. Why didn't Nick Cannon get that same quick educational lesson and he could be on his radio show next week?
Exactly.
They don't do that. I'm going to be honest. They don't do that for us.
Right, that's true.
And DeSean Jackson. I don't know about that. But the Nick Cannon, that's all I'm comparing it to. And they didn't do that for him.
He damn near lost his whole career.
Yeah, like, let's speak on it. He really did for a little bit. And then he had to sit down. And his lesson took about a month or two. Yeah. Where when Leonard did what he did, it was real quick, find you, now you can play next week. They don't really do that for us. We don't have the same rules.
Yeah. And it's always been like that, too,
with
our stuff. It was just something, you know, it's just something that's like, I think, like I said, Miles Leonard, DeSean Jackson, there's like the two that I know about that's recently. And what he said, like I said, too, I don't have a lot of friends that's in the Jewish community. You know what I'm saying? So I really can't even speak too much on.
Well, it ain't got nothing to do with being in the Jewish community. We just looking at it from a standpoint basis.
Yeah.
If we looking at an equal, an even playing field, whatever that individual gets, he's supposed to get the same repercussions. Because no one is saying that whenever DeSean Jackson said what he said, or Kobe said what he said, or anybody else that said anything offensive was right in the manner that he said it. It's just, hey, let's get an even playing field. Let's really talk about this. The same energy you gave him, give him.
Give that to somebody, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We can't keep doing shit like that, in my opinion.
But it definitely does weigh on the lack of knowledge, because my godmom, she's passed away now, but she was Jewish. So for me, pretty much me and my sister were always over her house. So it's just about being cultural in a sense where the word that Leonard used, I know not to even use. But I did see a lot of people in the comments, what does that even mean? What is that? What is that? So once again, it is lack of education. Sometimes people do need to be educated, because me at 10, 11, 12, I knew I can't. That's offensive, because my godmom was Jewish. But some people, they're not educated like that. Now him, is he Jewish? He is. The Leonard guy.
Is Myers Leonard Jewish?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's even worse.
Yeah, that's worse. Yeah. That's worse.
And then people was getting on him because he was the guy that everybody was kneeling in the bubble, you know, during the games. He stood up.
I did see that clip. Yeah,
and his brother's in the military and everything. So
yeah,
people was like, hey.
But that shit. Okay, come on, dog. Yeah, it was a duck.
Maybe I'm just a guy that has.
If it quacks, it's a damn duck. It ain't no, damn sympathy, because they ain't gonna have no sympathy towards you.
You say something like that. It's no,
they on your ass.
Nah, if I said something like that, nigga, this goddamn podcast is done.
Yeah, it's over.
Like, well, yeah, man. We had a good run, and
let's pack it up.
Let's pack it up now.
I ain't packing shit up. We gonna keep rolling. Because the one thing I can tell you, you know, just like I know, whatever's in the media, that shit keeps rolling for a week or even 2 or 3 days, and the shit is over with.
People say that, and you're absolutely right, but I have seen it stain people's careers.
Are you right?
Because even in the backstage, you know, like in the public eye view, it seems like it keep rolling, but it does do damage behind the scenes, because I have seen that. But you're right. You know what you're saying.
Man, hold on. I done seen some shit, and that nigga still rolling. So,
okay.
Yeah. Squad Ben, I done seen the worst out of the worst, and the motherfucker still got it going on. So, in my eyes, it's like shit. I think, that shit adds to your anxiety and depression and stuff like that, because you do things in the past that you may not have been. Because I think Myers Leonard is young as shit.
He in the 20s. Late, early. Late. Probably R is a little bit younger.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he gonna look back at this a year or two from now and say, damn, I shouldn't have never said this shit. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't think he should look at it and just be down upon himself like people want him to be and fucking kill himself or some shit like that. But at the same time, whenever you make mistakes, shit, deal with it head first and keep pushing. That's how I look at it. You know what I'm saying?
So, Rudy, I know we were talking about this before we started. Values of a champion. Now, since we're talking about basketball,
what is the value of a championship, an NBA championship?
Yeah, because I wholeheartedly disagree with what you said. But
okay.
Please explain.
Jazz, this is what I said.
Okay.
I feel like with so many super teams and so many teams being created out of, put it like this, I feel like players have learned the formula, and they all just trying to do this formula to win an easy route to a championship. And I think it takes the value from having a championship ring. The value of a ring now versus 10 or 15 years ago is so, like, it's not like, you can't even really celebrate a ring now, if we're being honest. Like, let's say, for instance, right now, the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets have 4 All-Stars.
3
now, but 4 All-Stars.
Yeah.
4, right? You got 3 of the best scorers in the league ever. You know what I'm saying? On the same team going against teams that can't even compare. No one can compare to KD and James Harden right now.
Right.
Them two. Now you got Kyrie and KD. Now you add James Harden. Bro, this is not even, why are we even watching basketball anymore? And I think it's been going that route for a long time, ever since the LeBron era in Miami. Because who could compete with these teams? No one could. I feel like the Mavericks did what they did, but once he figured out the formula, it was over with. Now every team is coming together to create super teams.
I was just going to say that. I agree. I definitely agree. I don't think the value is the same anymore. Because I remember when they were calling Golden State Warriors a super team. When they had
KD, Clay, and Steph.
Yep. And it was like people were saying it was unfair. But I agree with you, Rudy. Like, after LeBron went to Miami, I felt like it was like, okay, this is not, it's a super team. Like, it's not really competitive anymore.
Well, let me just go ahead and say this. No interruptions, please. None. I just want to say this real fast. All right. So let's just go back in time. Because first of all, what I think you're saying right now, Rudy, you sound like these damn white owners and general managers about we want power. That's my first thing. That's number one. All right. Let me, no interruptions. All right.
I wasn't even about to say shit.
I'm just making sure. I want to get my spill. I want to say this. All right. So we gotta remember, the NBA was never at an even playing field, okay? So let's go back to the 80s to where 8 out of the 10 years, you either seen the Lakers or the Celtics. One of those teams was in the finals 8 of those 10 years in the 80s. People forgot the Rockets even went with Ralph Sampson, Hakeem as a young bull. The Philadelphia 76ers went in the 80s. That, and then in 89, that's when you seen Detroit. So at that time, you had two teams, Lakers and Celtics, who had combined of like 10 Hall of Famers. You had Kareem. I don't want to go through the list of names that we all know who was on Lakers and Celtics at that time. So it was never even. That was the front office making the moves and everything. No player empowerment. The 90s. Michael Jordan let nobody win a championship until he retired. So let's think again on when the playing field was even, because he went almost every year except the 2 years he was gone, a year and a half. So the 90s was completely done. Now, let's get fast forward to the 2000s. Yes, in the early, from 2000 to 2009, towards the end, you've seen Boston team up with KG, Pearson, and Allen at the end of that. But you had the Lakers still killing. I get what you're saying. You want to make an argument about saying it was that's the most even I've seen in the early 2000s. Now, when LeBron came in 2010 until we got now, what he did was just take the power out of the front office and say, hey, we got a voice. We have power. We are the reason why people are watching these games, not the general managers, not the owners. So we're going to take that power and put it on ourselves. So, yeah, he went to Miami and played with his boy D. Wade and Chris Bosh, and he did that. So then now what we're seeing in 2021 is that you see Brooklyn. Before that, you seen Golden State. All I'm saying is,
it's not the same, bro.
The
reason why I'm telling you this is, it's not the same, because even in the 80s when you had the Lakers, you also had the Celtics. Regardless, if they lost, they lost. If they won, they won. It still was an even playing field, regardless of how you feel. Even when Jordan was winning his teams, they were actually winning because they were better. He had the mindset of, we going to get over this hump. They didn't have – they had two all-stars.
Lakers, you know what I'm saying?
No. The Lakers have two, but the fucking – Nets have three.
And that's hard.
Okay, so look. We just think of this. They still were being competitive. The reason why people couldn't win in the 90s against the Bulls is because Jordan was that dude. He was that – you couldn't fuck with Jordan. Period. Couldn't nobody fuck with Jordan. He was just had that mindset of, I'm going to kill you. Regardless. And he was playing against some good-ass teams. Utah was good as fuck.
Yeah, Sonics was good.
The Rockets was good as fuck. The Supersonics was good as fuck. The Spurs was good as fuck. You had a lot of teams who had great talent.
And the Pacers.
Come on, dog. The Knicks.
But
come on, dog. But that was because one man.
Right.
Now we're talking about teams who have multiple.
Three, four. Yeah,
like, bro. Right.
And that's my issue.
What is this even? Is this? Hold on. Is this even? Is this even fun anymore? It's not fun to watch basketball now. I'm not watching basketball. I'm just keeping it real with you. I don't watch basketball because I know what's about to happen.
So, okay. Like I said, I ain't saying
every once in a while, KD is going to sit out. They might lose a game. Every once in a while, James Harden might sit out. They're going to lose a game. Every once in a while, Kyrie going to sit out. They're going to lose a game. But if them three is on the court, they're not losing.
So that's what I'm going
to
say.
Even with the LeBron squad, like, we knew what was about to happen. It wasn't no way in hell. Even I talked so much shit about the Heat, but I knew for a fact they were going to the finals. You know what I'm saying? I talked so much. What was fun was seeing when Klay, Steph, and Draymond was on the same team. It was just them and their squad. That shit was fun because it was like, okay, this is basketball.
So what you're saying is the last championship that had value was when LeBron beat Golden State.
Yes.
So what about Kawhi when he beat Golden State in Toronto?
Yeah, but shit, we all know why he won.
Yeah, KD was hurt.
Like, let's keep it
so
real.
So the last one we saying is 2016. So the argument we can make is that, hey, these teams are making these teams to beat LeBron. Golden State got KD because of LeBron.
LeBron figured out the recipe. He got the recipe down pat to where his strategy, he knows what he needs to win a championship. In all situations, he knows exactly what he needs. Do you see why he only got is him and AD?
Yeah.
He already figured it out. At first, he was like, okay, we got to figure this shit out. Now, it's like, okay, I know what the fuck I need to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But that's because now I think he understands, like, I think, honestly, LeBron's thinking in his head, like, damn, I kind of fucked up.
Think so?
Yes. I think he feels like he fucked up. By going to Miami. For Miami, he had to get that championship pedigree, but the other players around didn't look at it from that perspective, or the perspective that you're looking at it from, saying like, "Hey, we need to get the power." Okay. I feel like these players are looking at it like, "Oh shit, that's how you get a ring."
So what you saying is,
"Oh nigga, hey, we should have made this shit 10 years ago."
Okay.
Say, KD.
So
what's up, bro? You know what I'm saying? You know for a fact we can go get a ring right now. It's not gonna be hard. Before the Rockets trade, the league had been the most balanced it has been since. Oh my God. Even when LeBron was with the Cavs, it wasn't balanced. If we just keeping it real.
When he was with Cleveland, it was Boston.
No, I'm saying when he was Boston don't count.
Right, which one are you talking about? You talking about the second Cleveland run?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, when it wasn't.
It wasn't even balanced at that point. At that moment, I think it became because what happened? That dynasty came.
Yeah.
When KD bitch ass sat there and said, "You know what? Let me take my bitch ass over here and get this ring." Because now, if we're keeping it real, does KD's ring hold any weight?
Nah, it don't. I always say it don't hold weight, but I get what you're saying. So basically, what you're saying, what LeBron did. He didn't see the other side of that coin. It's like social media. When I watched Social Dilemma, that documentary, they said, hey, they made social media so everybody could never interact with their friends, their family, the like button, but they didn't understand the other side of that coin that monster, that beast was. So it's like LeBron. LeBron looked at himself like, hey, I'm going to start a movement. I'm going to do what I want to do. But he probably didn't see that other side of that coin to where you do that. You got people like KD. You got Westbrook, you got Harden, you got all these guys. And at that time, they wasn't that dude, but he didn't know how the NBA was going to be 10 years from now. Now you got everybody moving. Fucking Brooklyn? I never thought in my life I would. First of all, there's two things I never thought I'd see in the NBA. The fucking Clippers is relevant. And I never thought I'd see the Brooklyn Nets. I thought the New York Knicks for the longest. I was like, all right, Knicks going to come back. I still want the Knicks to come back. I play the niggas on 2K. So I want the niggas to come back.
But look, I want you to really think about this. And Jazz, you let me know what you think too. Would this be the same case if D-Wade and Chris Bosh went to Cleveland?
As far as...
Yeah, I don't really get the question.
So would this narrative be a thing if they went to Cleveland? Instead of LeBron going to Miami.
Well, I mean.
And the reason why I say that is because the whole thing was that LeBron is too fucking good to be taking his ass to Miami to go team up with D-Wade and Chris Bosh. If he would have brought them to him, now we talking. At that point, now you flex your power and you do something that has never been done before. Because Jordan went and got Scottie Pippen.
Now, they drafted him.
They drafted him, but, I mean, that was his addition. He didn't go anywhere.
Well, you're in Chicago. Chicago is better than Cleveland. As
man,
a city.
Look, it doesn't matter.
We do got to remember this, bro. We got to talk about these people's livelihood, too.
Understood.
Think about it, Rudy. I'm going to put you in LeBron's shoe. Let's say you the biggest name in all of sports. You that dude. You can scrub to the finals. Shout out to Daniel Gibson. Nah, he not a scrub. But you know what I mean? Like, other guys, you know what I'm saying, that was just others. You carrying these dudes, 60 wins, 55. Hell, look at Steph Curry. He was arguing with his players the other day. He was mad frustrated because now he actually feels like, damn, I see what LeBron's going through. I got to carry these role players and try to get them to the playoffs. LeBron was taking that same squad, if not worse, to 60 wins, 55, and couldn't get over Boston. Couldn't get past Detroit. Couldn't win in the finals. And you got your homeboy. I'm on Miami. Hey, nigga, South Beach, hey, we got Pat Riley. The organization's cool, yada, yada, yada. Think about your future. Think about what you can do as a man, as LeBron James. You're going to stay in old, cold-ass Cleveland. Ain't shit out there. Not a party like you in your 20s. I go to South Beach and probably win and change the culture and change the landscape and the mentality of players that's in sports, not just in basketball, but in football. Because now look at football. You got Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson. You got guys. I never thought I would see 15-plus quarterbacks in one season move to different teams. It's a possibility that can happen this year. We already seen Carson Wentz gone. Now Watson's finna go. Wilson, they got the mentality.
Understood, bro. But at the same time, we looking at it from a standpoint of how can we change the dynamic of this franchise. Now, you go and you win a ring in Cleveland and you go wherever the fuck else you want to go. At that point, you did your job. You did what you supposed to do. But when you left and went and teamed up with this team to show quote-unquote power, these other players aren't looking at it like that.
Yeah.
Even, like, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even mad at them going to the Lakers.
You couldn't.
You can't be mad. You did what you set out to do.
You went and won a ring in Cleveland.
You got a ring in Cleveland, and you took your ass to L.A. That's cool. Yep.
He's on that mogul shit. He's on that JC shit.
That's cool. I'm not tripping about that, but once you took your power to South Beach, that made these other teams look at it. They made these younger players look at it like, oh, nah, wait a second. God damn it. What the – like, we had an analogy. Man, look, I'm not going to Young Money.
No.
I'm not going to the QC. I'm not – you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't do that because, shit, I'm loyal to my soul.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, if opportunities come, shit, you know, that may be. But at the same time, by choice, no, we going to win a ring together. Let's get this shit going.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like – I mean, I'm sure, Jazz, you can coincide with that as far as just, like, you know, being loyal to whatever you started with, the team that you started with. Let's make this shit happen to the wheels fall. That's why I respect Dame so much. Everybody trying to tell him to leave fucking Portland. He like, nah, fuck this. This is what I do.
I'm not going to lie to you. If he wins a ring in Portland one day, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to talk about this too much because we ain't got enough time, but I do want to say this. Bruh. If Dame, we, I think this generation look at Dame and how our generation looked at AI, in a sense, because
he is AI to the core.
He's AI because he's that guy on the court. You know what I'm saying? He's culture. He raps. You know what I'm saying? He's just, we can relate to him, and he's staying in Portland. He's fighting it out. He's fighting it out. If he wins one ring with Portland, his legend status shoots up to like I was saying about AI. If he would have beat the Lakers in 2001. And that's his only ring.
Man, that's worth 10 of them.
People would have looked at him in our generation higher than Michael Jordan. That's because we've seen AI.
That's 10 rings in one.
Yeah.
That's why I say the value of a ring right now, depending on how you do it, is so low right now. It's not even – like, I'm telling you, I don't feel like KD has a ring.
If a superstar went to the New York Knicks and won a championship, do you know how big the Knicks –
That is 10 rings.
The Knicks – they ain't win shit, bro, in our generation.
Think about how important that ring for Dirk was.
Nigga put D-Town on them out. Dallas, like, I mean, Dallas is cool, but they never won nothing.
The Pistons got one with that group.
They won with that same
group with Ben.
Rip, Chauncey.
How much of a...
And they beat the Lakers in five.
Dog, come on.
And we talk about super team. They had Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe, Shaq, Robert Ory, Derek.
That shit weighs more than that was anything crazy. That anybody... Yeah. Like, that one ring is like... That shit lasted them for like 5 years.
Nigga, I was 10 years old saying, beat they ass.
I'm telling you, bro.
Ass, let's go.
So, like, when you look at a Nets team and you say, well, damn, this you need all this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the... Like, are y'all even having fun playing basketball?
Yeah, dog. I feel you.
It's
on
not
shit.
Competitive anymore. Like,
it's James Harden's fault. Whole ass nigga.
Hey.
Hope you ain't watching. It's his fault though.
Yeah, nah.
Hey man, I don't sit on this hot seat for nothing, bro. You put me on this hot seat. You know,
Jazz is busy on that damn phone.
I told you I don't know stats like that. Nah, so, like,
you ain't got to know stats, so
look,
we got something for your ass.
You see, he try to call you. I just
nah.
He on the phone right now. They have to see.
So Jazz. So look, I'm not going, you know what I'm saying? You my nigga, so
right,
I ain't
right,
going to
yeah,
do you like that. So, you know. So, usually when people in the hot seat, it ain't really just on no pressing. This is just a therapeutic conversation, all right? So,
so if you want to,
you can always lean back.
No, it's okay.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You can recline if you want to and just relax.
Sit back and relax.
Too chill. I still gotta be on my, you know.
So I pay attention to the mix, and I know in the mix you came out to be bisexual.
Yes.
So, like, you know, can you tell us more about just, you know, that, you know, when did that come about? And, well, let me not. I don't want to sound like that motherfucker, but can you talk more about, you know, even the process of coming out and saying, because I know that's a tough thing.
Yeah, it's very tough. So, you know, I, of course, everybody who knows me knows my relationship with my mom is very strong. Mm-hmm. We're like best friends. So before I even came to the mix with it, she had already known about it. And then what really urged me to do it is because the week before I actually came out on the mix, we had another topic where we were speaking about relationships. And I said that I was a virgin because I never had sex before. So I'm thinking of same sex relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So I said that and it started a whole whirlwind. DMs.
They're like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
yeah,
whoa.
DMs, social media, blogs, everywhere. And I said, whoa, 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 okay. You know what? Before anybody can tell my story for me, let me tell my story myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the power out of anybody who's
sitting tell
at
them
home,
motherfuckers.
Like, ooh, I got her. I got her with this one.
Fuck them people.
Exactly. So, as you always tell me. So that's what really urged me to say, okay, now I'm going to just tell my truth, which I had honestly been living with for about a year, year and a half.
Yeah.
Really. And it's tough. Like you said, it's hard to come out. You know, I'm looking at my mom in her eyes, telling her, you know, I think I'm bisexual. No mom wants to hear that, you know.
Yeah.
So.
What was her reaction?
She actually cried.
Yeah.
She cried, yeah, because her first thing was like, oh, I want to see my baby have kids. I want to walk my baby down the aisle. And I'm like, mom, I'm 24. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. We got time. Like, it's okay.
It's
be
not
cool.
Like I'm like 50 and I'm like, look, I'm bisexual. You're never going to have a grandbaby. Like, I was like, it's okay. You know, but as a mom that, you know, I respect her reaction. So then I went to the mix and told them, you know, I am bisexual. I'm in a relationship, things of that nature, because I just didn't want anybody to tell my story for me.
Yeah.
I feel that's where a lot of people in the public eye go wrong. It's like we're like hoping, oh, please don't say anything. I hope nobody says anything. And then they say something and then we're so affected and, oh, my God, my career is ruined. Where for me, once I took the power out of their hands, I haven't heard anybody talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Because they have nothing to say. So,
like, how has that been going for you? Like, how is your relationship life going? Like, before we get to that, do you think, and this is just a curious question amongst us, don't cuss me out, please. Do you think that, you know, that you became bisexual because of trauma or?
Well, you know, I was having a conversation with my mom, and when I was in high school to my first year of college, I did have a boyfriend who I was madly in love with, who I thought was madly in love with me. And that is the reason I held on to my virginity so long, because first off, I was raised in a Christian household. My mom told me pretty much, I talked about this on the mix as well, if you have sex, she gave every bad thing that could go wrong when you had sex. She was that mom. You're gonna get pregnant, you're gonna get STD, it was horrible. So
my mama told me mine to fall off.
See, so you was probably scared. That's what
I wasn't scared, though.
You was like, I'm going to go for
either
it.
Either use or lose it. Fuck it.
But for me, I was terrified. And then I have a sister who's older than me who has always been a role model of mine who wasn't having sex either. So I'm not going to be the younger sister who loses her virginity. Like, that looks crazy.
Yeah.
So when my boyfriend at the time, we were supposed to go to the same college together. We both were athletes. I thought we were going to get married, in all honesty. So that's why I was okay with holding on to my virginity, because he told me, hey, when we get married, it's good. You know, he's selling me dreams.
Yeah.
He actually ended up cheating on me with one of my friends. And
damn.
Yeah, it was tough. And I think that really when I, you know, it always takes us a couple years to fully look back on something and say, this might be the way I am now. So you mix the love of your life cheating on you with your best friend, not having a father figure. Mm. I don't have a relationship with my dad, never did. I was raised in a single parent household. So I hate girls who blame, oh, I'm bisexual because I didn't have a dad or because of this. But I think we do have to face our past traumas. Yeah. And I honestly think those played a role in it, where now when I get to college, I'm like, basically, in short term, fuck these niggas. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of go through that phase as women, was like, fuck them. And then I just started to venture out. And now here I am. Mm-hmm. If I have to be honest, and I spoke about it with my mom, but this is like exclusive. I've never really said that on a public platform.
Oh, mate. Fuck them people.
So what's like the difference between dating like a man versus a woman, like mentally and like how, like expectation and going through it too?
Well, for a woman, because I'm a woman myself, we're very emotional. And I know that guys say they're emotional as well, but it's definitely on different levels. Like the things that the guys I've talked to or dated have tripped over, well, haven't tripped over, the girl has.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. It's like you guys are emotional, because I've seen some of the guys I've been with break down about certain things in their life that are, you know, really affecting them. But I'm not going to say it's a lack of care, but I feel like a woman, we're nurturers. We're born to be nurturers, you know? So it's just different. Guys don't, I'm not going to say you guys don't, I don't want to discredit you, but it takes a little while for us to break that barrier and get there. Whereas women, we're automatically like, what do you need? What do you want? You okay? You good?
Yeah.
It's just different. Yeah.
No, that's the biggest difference. We was having a conversation early, and I was telling Jazz, like, you don't know how sensitive.
Yeah.
Men really are, like all of us. I don't give a damn how tough you are. A lot of them are very sensitive, and we use a lot of the trauma that we go through. Mm-hmm. A lot of we use a lot of things to hide the pain that we go through on a daily basis. Like, you know, you just take in consideration that a lot of people they don't have relationships with their parents, or relationship with their father, or relationship with their mother. And, or, you know, like I was telling you earlier, I deal with abandonment, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to deal with that the majority of my life, just because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, I take my walls down.
Yep. And then they leave.
And then, you know, shit, you get what you want and you bounce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that, shit, it took me a long, I'm just now getting to the point to where, like, I'm comfortable with being me, 100%. Yeah. Like, man,
that's tough. That takes a while to get there.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I can really understand where you come from when you say that. I personally think that, you know, when it comes to relationships, no matter what it is, you know, you look at relationships as far as, you know, man, you know, whatever your preference is. It all comes down to who are you comfortable with being the most fucked up with and being able to build with each other.
Yeah.
I think we take a lot of value out of the fact that, like, shit, we all fucked up. To be honest with you, we all fucked up in some kind of way. But can you stand being fucked up with this other fucked up person and build each other up at the same time? Because if you're not, what's the whole point of being in a relationship?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
You gotta go through ups and downs.
Even, you know, you were saying earlier, you were saying, like, the importance of being a best friend in a relationship. Like, can you talk more about that?
Yeah, so I feel like your partner should be your best friend. Pretty much. That's, like, the best way I can say
it. I feel
you. Know, and people, when they hear best friend, they think of, like, somebody you grew up with. Nah, it's like, when you're a best friend, it could be somebody that you just vibe with.
Yes, exactly.
It's just cool. Y'all talk every day.
Yep.
Y'all kick it, and it's like, man, I could kick with her, you know, all that.
You, it ain't always got to be sexual. You can just chill in the bed and just chop it up and shit.
Just talk about anything.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Or shit, just be in the bed, be on your phone and shit. Like,
well, I don't like that. But
you don't like that?
No. When we're
hold on, you don't like people on the phone?
No, wait a second. This is all right. There we go. Come on. I was
okay. So I'm big on past a certain hour. But is that just me? Like, I feel like after, like, 9 or 10, that's our time. We're chilling, watching TV. No phone.
Oh, it's like, what are you doing on the phone at that late?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, I'm a big thing of, like, we can be in the same room together and not communicate, but communicate.
What?
Say that again. Say that again.
I can sit, like, me and my girl, she can be on that couch and I can be over here and we can both be on our phone and just be chilling. We might not say two words to each other. But we enjoy each other's company so much to where it's like, I'm just happy to be around you.
I've experienced that before, but I don't know. I think past a certain time, like hour, no, phone should be up.
Shit, nah, if the phones is up, I mean, 9 times out of 10, we doing some kind of communication.
That sounds crazy.
He look out, walked out for 2 seconds.
Yeah, all I said was we doing some kind of communication. I'm sure, like, we could be still drinking talking.
That whiskey gonna get you. That's what
I'm talking about, though. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, he said some shit, though.
How? Am I tripping?
No, you good.
I'm just saying. You doing something. We can be in the same room with each other and communicate and not be communicating.
Yeah, that's some real shit.
Honestly. Like, I can. I guess that's a whole nother level of some shit.
Nah, I see what you're saying.
But you can sit down and just be there together.
I've done that before, but I don't know. That's like that's like evening time, like not late at night.
Shit, late at night, shit. No. You know, hey.
So when it's
we call that chemistry. We call that chemistry, goddammit.
So when you do y'all agree on what y'all, if y'all eating dinner at the same time, y'all at the table, no phones? Like, hey, how was your day? Yep. Or whatever. Like,
what? I mean, me personally, because I can say for me in my situation. Okay. Because she's getting her entrepreneur thing going on, and I've been doing it a long time already, so I've been kind of helping her guide her, but at the same time, letting her do her thing. We make time for a dinner, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, sometimes we might not do dinner until, like, 11 or 12 in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Well, 11 at night, 12 in the morning. Yeah. But
you keep going.
But at the same time, you made me lose fucking track.
Yo.
But... Yeah, you ain't hear what the fuck
I'm listening to what you're talking about. You said losing track. Shit, you said losing track. That's what I'm talking about.
Nah, but I feel like at a certain time, yeah, you put phones up and you make sure you give attention, of course, because y'all, you know, women are hound. That brings me to another question. How you doing? brings me to a question with y'all. Okay. So, Jazz. Even in a relationship with another woman, right? Is how important is attention?
Attention?
Yeah, like, are you a hounder for attention to the point to where it's like,
no, I'm the same.
You're not answering the fucking phone, or you're not listening to me, or
oh no, I'm the same. Whether female or male, if I require a certain amount of attention, but I don't think I'm annoying.
What about her?
She's pretty normal. She's like. Normal.
But
she's asking you a question or some shit like that. She told you something you forgot because you focus on an email or some shit like that.
It would be the same response I get when I was with a guy.
Yeah,
he was like, "Yo, you always on your phone. Like, what's going on?" Maybe the delivery is different. You know what's being said is different, but it's actually just honestly the same for me in my experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. She said same thing, but like you know. Don't be on the phone at a certain time. So attention is a big deal.
I'm just curious on like just the dynamic. I always been curious about the dynamic of a woman and a woman. As far as just because y'all are both emotional, y'all both are. When I say emotional, I'm saying to the 10th power.
Yeah, I'm a Cancer too, so I'm.
Oh yeah, you know what's crazy? I was gonna ask you what your sign was.
I'm overly emotional, yeah. Hey,
y'all,
bullshit. One in every relationship.
Jazz definitely put sugar in niggas.
It's Cancer July or June.
June 29th
is
my birthday.
Okay, June.
Jazz definitely puts sugar in niggas' cars. You done? What's the craziest shit you ever done?
Slash somebody tie. Goddamn.
No, I've never done that because I don't like when people mess with my things. But. This might be kind of crazy, but I hacked into iCloud.
You hacked into it?
Holy shit.
I hacked into iCloud. Because like when you're with somebody for so long, you know their passwords.
Ooh, shit. That's why I get on iCloud. I don't put none of my shit on iCloud.
Yeah, I learned from that situation. So I hacked to the iCloud. I saw everything, like messages, everything, pictures, all that. I'm like.
Was this with the dude or woman?
No, this is with a female.
Okay.
Yeah, the craziest thing I've done with a guy, I don't...
What's the craziest thing has somebody ever done to you?
Let me see, because my mom might watch this, so I got to filter it a bit.
I'll tell you the craziest shit I ever did.
Like that, but let me see. You go first.
I'll tell you the craziest shit I ever did. The craziest shit I ever did was I had...
He gonna say some shit, boy.
God damn.
I had one of my homeboys stalk.
That's that Lifetime movie network.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Nah, it wasn't really like stalk. It was just like, hey, if she come to that club, let me know.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, okay. I just went to the house.
And let me know who you with.
Driving
behind. Oh, no. Hell no. Let me know when she come up there and who she with.
Mm.
And I let her know, like, yeah, I know you with so-and-so, da-da-da-da. Yeah. I know exactly what he look like and all that shit.
That's some scary shit, boy.
We back together now, though, so it worked. Shit, she did some crazy shit to my ass, too.
That's a little toxic.
Shit, we both was toxic, because she did some crazy shit to me, too, so...
See, you still thinking?
Yeah, I'm like...
I don't know. Mine wasn't crazy. Same girl I talked about last episode. When I was 18 years old. So we had our boy. We had our boy D. Durlo. So this is what I'm saying. Like, this is when I found out, like, she's doing X, Y, and Z. She wants to break up with me.
Right.
God damn it, motherfucker. What the fuck?
Nigga, wings. Calm
down. Damn.
How you doing? I'm sorry.
That nigga was...
He rude as fuck.
Really? We was in a... Really?
You doing all right today?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Beautiful.
What you was saying, hoe ass nigga? Shit. Motherfucker. All right, listen. So now this... I find out she did some shit to me. And I'm not the type of guy to like just break up and it's over. I want to see what can happen. So I'm 18 years old. I'm like, yo, hey, D, bro, can you please take me to her house? I want to go and talk to her. So I'm going old school route. She ain't picking up my phone. So I'm going to her house. I'm trying to see what's going on. I want to talk to her. Like, hey, what's happening? I'm outside the door, knocking on the door. She told me through like the little door thing. What do you want?
Why you saying like this?
That's how she said it. Unannounced. That's like rule one.
But you know what I'm saying. But we was 18, so I'm trying to fix it. Yeah. I'm hurt. You know what I'm saying. I want to get some closure. So I'm like, hey, you know what I'm saying. I want to talk to you face to face and see what we can do. You know what I'm saying. Like, how can we fix this? I don't want to talk to you. Then all of a sudden, I'm like, God damn. So I'm outside the house like an hour. I'm outside like 30 minutes to an hour. Man, I'm sitting outside just waiting. I'm like, damn, dog, she ain't coming outside. So it wasn't nothing crazy. I was just trying to get my girl back.
There ain't nothing wrong with that. You got to apply some pressure sometimes.
You got to apply pressure.
Sometimes it can be, yeah.
That's not extreme, though, because think about back when they were without no cell phones. Think about, you ever seen them old movies where they talk somebody out on the fourth floor of the apartments? They throw a rock at the window. Baby, please. Baby, say, come look. On, just talk to me one time, baby. Jay, I don't want to talk to you, Steve.
Wait, was it the craziest thing that happened to me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I got left at the club once.
Hold on, what did you do?
No, I got left at the club once because I talked to someone that I had past dealings with. Oh, person shit. I was with saw it. Oh, I can't have this. Got in the car, left me. To the point, but I was a little tipsy because we was at the club.
That's like the worst time for shit.
The worst time for toxic shit to happen. God damn.
When you drunk, you think the world is over. So I called my mom. Oh, mom, I live at a club. How do I get home?
Yeah.
I'm calling her, like, what's going on? And that's honestly the craziest moment because the person I was with really didn't care about my safety at all.
Yeah.
I feel like if you leave me at the club, you don't care about you don't care. So it was crazy because I've never called my mom about a relationship problem ever. That was my first time. And then we ended up getting back together. So now it put me in a weird position because my mom is like, you back with somebody who left you at the club? Like, it just looks bad. But that's honestly kind of crazy.
I'm going to tell you something. We talk about crazy shit. What I'm going to say that happened 3 nights ago on this freeway that we see on this balcony. It's some of the most craziest shit that I'm going to say. They two a couple's arguing outside their car. It's like Monday night arguing. Argument, whatever, kicks out the car. She gets out the car on I-10. It's a freeway right here at the balcony. On the freeway, gets out the car, walks out a car. Bam! Ran her over. Died on the scene.
Wait, what?
Yes. Monday night right here on I-10. Yes, it's right around midnight, 1 o'clock.
Man, that's the way to fuck up the movie.
That is the way. You want to talk about crazy?
God damn, nigga, that was too crazy. We had to go all the way there.
I'm just saying, we want to talk about, we on the subject. Hey, we want to talk about crazy.
Okay, yeah, so.
He ain't beating that.
Damn. Well, that goes for my story I had. Yeah. You remember TSU Homecoming?
Yeah. Which one? Which year?
When I was looking for shimmy ass.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I don't know the story of this, so. Alright, it sounds like it's going to be some shit.
Yeah, it sounds
so. We had broke up or whatever, and this is around the time that I had niggas, you know, snooping after. And in my mind, I was like, okay, she going to be at TSU Homecoming because she blocked me. And she changed the number and shit, so you know how that goes. I'm not toxic, y'all.
This sounds
I just wanted my girl back. So we went to TSU Homecoming, and we was lit that night. We was lit as fuck, wasn't we?
Every year at TSU, I was always lit.
Now you should have been at the PV homecoming.
Oh, here she go. With
see, PV homecoming was my early year, the tent party and all that. We turned them bitches out. That's a whole other conversation. But we, you know, the night getting longer and shit like that. So I'm like, man, I ain't seen this girl all fucking night, and I know she here. So I went to a nigga that I knew that was trying to talk to her. And I was like, hey, where she at?
He said, hey, where she at? He ain't asked, like, hey, sir.
Oh, she's over there. He pointed right where she was and her ass ducked. Her ass ducked.
What happened?
See, I went to her friends. I was like, where she at? Because I didn't see that she did. She told me later on. She like, yeah, I seen you. She's like, yeah, I seen you. But I ducked. Like, I wasn't trying to have you see me at all.
But I saw him. Oh my God, I ain't gonna lie to you. It's a part of me, I be hating I'm single, but part of me, I'm like, man, I'm glad I'm single.
How long you been single?
8 years.
Oh my God.
8 years.
What?
Yes.
Were you hurt? Where you said, okay, I'm done for 8 years?
It just so happened it was 8 years. Like,
nah, he got a problem.
So you want me to switch seats or some shit?
Yeah, he got a problem.
No, I don't. I don't have a problem. I just, like I explained in one of my previous episodes, that's like, hey, it's me. I'm not gonna blame
it's
women.
Him, but also it's where he looking. He looking for the bottle girls.
Stop it, please. I don't. First
That's
of
a
all,
problem.
See, okay, don't let him exaggerate. Jazz, don't let him exaggerate.
Jazz,
too wrong for that.
Bottle girls really.
Can we keep it real? We got to make sure this is a segment in itself. Let's talk about the women you don't need to talk to on a serious note.
Oh, we can't keep Jazz. Are you on rush? You got a rush? Are we good?
No, I'm good. I got like 30 in me. 30
okay, okay, good. Okay. All right.
My bad.
Okay, we straight. Yeah, we want me to switch seats for her?
Yeah, yeah, might be. Yeah. We
am I in a red seat or no?
We're having fun.
Am I in a red seat?
No. Nah, nigga, sit your ass down. We ain't done with you yet.
Ain't my time. We told we going
to
get
honestly, that needs to be a conversation. Leave the bottle girls and the Instagram models alone. And we're not just talking about you. We're talking all men and women across the world. Leave them motherfuckers alone because they don't want you.
Nope.
Not you. They want what comes with you.
With you. Yep. That's true.
And I think we need to pay more attention to, you know, when people want materialistic things, them materialistic things can go away like that.
Yeah.
What you going to do after that? You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
And now you going to be quiet.
Yeah. Man, I thought you had a response.
I'm going to tell you something about me. I let people talk on the mic. I don't interrupt.
Man, shut the fuck up.
I let y'all get what y'all have to get out, and then I chime in. I don't do all that 1-2 back to one. No, 1-2-3-1. Okay.
So Jazz. So how would you say your relationship right now? Well, in general, you ain't got to get too deep into context. Yeah, but what do you feel like is a something that you? Because we all in all our relationships, we have something that we're working on, and that we want to work on. So like, what's something that in your relationship right now that you're working on and that you? You possibly have a worry about or anything like that?
I definitely want to work on communication.
Mm.
I think that's like, I really think that's the number one thing that can make a relationship succeed or fail. It's just communication. So that's something I definitely want to work on. I don't have a lot of worries. Like, I'm not the female who's going to be insecure or be jealous. I feel like if they can take you, they can have you. And I've always felt like that. That's not just like,
see, that's
cliche.
Some player.
That's
some player. You've been around the world a couple times.
Nah.
I just heard that too many times. I live by that shit. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Nah.
But, yeah, I feel like communication is big. And I think that just, that exceeds any relationship, business relationship, family. sexual relationship, whatever it is, I feel like communication is key.
I agree 100%. I feel like we were talking about this shit earlier. I feel like especially within relationships, men and women have a problem with communication.
Yes.
100%. A lot of times when people break up or have misunderstandings, it's because you're not trying to understand the other individual's point of view, and they're not trying to understand your point of view. And that's mainly because we all have our traumas.
Right.
And we all have our way of thinking, and we're scared of being judged. Am I correct?
That's true.
You know?
I definitely agree. But I feel like some communication is just like the little things. It's simple. It's not even a factor of if I'm going to judge you, or it's just letting me know you went to do this. So you know what I'm saying? And I feel like in my relationship, that's kind of what's missing.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I feel you. I got the same problem.
Yeah, it's tough though, because for me, I don't know. I feel like, once again, grew up in a single parent household where me and my mom's communication was very well, but I feel like sometimes we're in a relationship the way, I don't know, it's weird for me because my mom loves me endlessly, but I feel like that doesn't correlate well to a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not the same at all. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in a relationship where I don't know how to communicate properly. Because it's like the only love I've had was from my mom. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And my other family members, of course. But I'm just saying that doesn't correlate well when you're in a relationship.
Do you think being a lifestyle that you live, that plays a part as well?
What do you mean? Go a little bit.
I can say with me. Okay, let's say for instance, with me, we kind of live kind of the same lifestyle. My communication problems is I like to move on my own time.
Right.
So let's say for instance, we, you know. Let's say I'm at the studio, and she says, hey, I'm trying to go to dinner. And I'm in the studio, I'm putting in work, and I don't leave the studio till like 9:30, 10. Mm-hmm. And by that time, all the restaurants is over with. And in my mind, it's like, well, shit, I thought I had enough time to make sure we went and got some dinner. But she like, hell nah. Nigga, it's 10 o'clock, and it's an issue now. In your mind, well, in my mind, I was working.
Well, I've,
you know,
I've always been the type, I'm very scheduled. Like, I'm very prompt. Like, if you check my calendar right now, it's everything to the T, to the minute.
Now, you're right.
So, for me, I don't have those relationship problems because my partner already knows, okay, Jazz has to do this until 7, until 8, until 9.
See, I don't be letting motherfuckers know all that shit.
Oh, I do. And, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, some of my communication is great, but then other parts I'm just off. So, even if I'm running behind 10 minutes, I'm texting 30 minutes before, like, hey, podcast went over a bit. I can't.
I got you.
So no one can feel like, you know, even when I'm late to the studio sometimes, I'm like, Rudy, 30 minutes late. I'm sorry, I can't. Because that's just how I am. So I don't really have those problems. But at the same time, I date somebody who is in the bottle industry.
Yeah.
So, Rudy knows about being late.
So,
he can relate to you.
Here we go with that.
What I was saying was, being in the bio industry, they have their late hours anyway.
Right.
Don't come home to 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. sometimes. Yeah. And I've just had to adapt as well because somehow I'll be at the studio till 3 a.m. So,
not
you know, it's like.
Yeah.
So, what's the question? I went downstairs. What's the.
What's the problem?
Really? I went downstairs to get a cup. What was the question he asked you?
I went down. Ventured off somewhere.
Communication.
Communication.
It's key.
Yes.
I believe in the 5 C's. I made this up. I didn't get this from nobody. I didn't read this from a book or nothing.
You're talking about a nigga that's single.
So what? I'm going to tell you something right now. If I put it like this. I'd rather be single. I learned more being single.
No, I'm fucking with you, bro.
In 8 years. I want the people to know this, though. I learned a lot of shit within 8 years of being single. Mm-hmm. As opposed to if I was in 8 relationships in 8 years,
oh,
I don't learn from
no,
that shit.
That's not.
But I'm just saying, I don't learn shit from that. You know what I'm saying? People are like, why? Why is it 8? You know what I'm saying? But I learned from the 5 C's.
Man, I learned so much about myself just being in a relationship and just like being me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel you on that to a certain extent.
Because sometimes you can learn a lot while you're single. You chill. Because don't get me wrong. I dated within 8 years.
Of course.
But I learned a lot of things. I learned the 5 C's.
So
consistency, chemistry, communication, connection, compatibility. You
but
gotta
how
have
can
all.
You fully learn that if you're not with anybody to test it.
Dating, I tested dating. Because think about it.
For, see, that's the bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, no,
that's where we get our bad rap.
So let me explain this. So I learned it because in order for me to date, I want to get to know you.
Right.
But in order for me to get to know you, we gotta have communication. You know what I'm saying? Have conversation. The consistency. You know what I'm saying? We want to see each other and everything.
But you selling a dream.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not
you are.
Women. I don't sell women.
How are you not selling a dream? You treat it in a relationship.
Well, how about sometimes when I was dating somebody, they fucked me over too? How about they did something that I didn't like?
Now you pointing fingers and shit.
No, I'm not pointing. I'm just saying a scenario. I'm just saying you can still learn those five C's when you're dating somebody. Because you still got to get to that point of the relationship, because that's another task you ask.
But I think that comes down to communication. A lot of times you'll know where you're at in a relationship or even courting someone if you communicate and you say, hey, what are we?
Right.
I think that like that conversation is so underrated. Yeah. Like motherfuckers don't do that enough. What the fuck are we?
I do that like every week.
No bullshit. Oh, come on. Hey, we good?
No.
How we doing?
Look, put something like
let me know. We good.
Man, look.
You got any issues?
Right.
No, let's talk about it.
I could be the single man on this microphone right. I could be the single person on this microphone right now, but look here. I'm not asking nobody. Look. What are we? Put like this. I'm not doing no boyfriend girlfriend type shit. We gonna date. If we're dating for like a year and a half,
define dating.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you.
All right.
What do you mean when you say dating?
When you're dating,
When
you're talking to somebody, you get to know somebody. Let's say 2 months down the line. We hanging out, we're dating a lot, we hanging out talking every day.
Right.
We're hanging out. We're getting to a point like we hanging out, we're talking, we going out places. We know who we are. So if I'm comfortable enough, I like you enough. I can go and be like, hey, I'm talking to somebody. I'm dating someone right now. We're dating. It's all about that. When you let it know right there, you straight. You don't need to go and be like, hey, keeping my boyfriend, keeping my girlfriend.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I didn't got cussed the fuck out because I claimed someone as my girlfriend. And she was like, you didn't ask me.
I was just about to say, you can't shoot that.
It depends on y'all that, though. It depends on y'all.
No, my girl, we staying the night with each other. This my only one shit. You know what I'm saying? Vice versa. And I was like, yeah, this is my girl. I introduced her to one of my homies. It's my girl.
Yeah, that's
she later on that night, we in the bed. She like, hey, you said I was your girl. I was like, yeah. She's like, you didn't ask me. And I was like, oh, I didn't know.
Some girls operate different, though, too, at the same time. Some girls probably want to get asked that, but some girls would be like, hey, you know. Because
some,
I'm going to tell you something right now about me.
Yeah.
When I dated women in the past, we'd be texting here and there for like a week or two. They'll tell their homegirl, oh, I used to talk to him.
I'm like, that's a mess.
I'm like, no, mess. we barely texted. That's not, no. That's what I'm saying. So,
but that's because the communication wasn't there. She probably thought that, hey, just like what you just said, I'm gonna test this out on this girl while we dating. And they mind, they like, well, shit, we an item. Exactly. Because you doing all these things for me. But at the same time, you saying, nah, nigga, I'm just testing this shit out on you.
But if I'm barely texting, we not even talking. Like, we not even
still, you gotta. But
that's what I'm saying. As opposed to, if I'm talking to someone every day, we texting, we talking, we hanging out, we doing X, Y, and Z.
But you can't assume.
At all.
You can never assume. Because what you're thinking it is may not be the same thing she's thinking at all.
That's true. I just think.
You have to ask. And I think that comes with maturity. I'm not saying you're immature, but I'm the type.
He immature.
I want to have those conversations. I want to make sure we're on the same page.
People think I'm older than what I am. Okay,
because you look like nigga. You look 50.
Tell you something right now.
So look.
Look here.
I got. Before we get up out of here. We had one last conversation we want to have that I think Akil really was stronghold on this damn topic. What was it?
I think us as men, we need to grow the fuck up when it comes to sex.
What you mean by that?
Please explain.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because
I ain't doing certain shit.
Nah, it's not about that. It's not about doing certain shit. It's about when we in a bed with a woman, it's about them. It's not about us. It's about pleasing them. It's about pleasing a woman in a bed.
I like that, Akil.
That's what it's about.
But that was that nigga's
promo clip, baby.
TikTok.
Man, get the fuck up.
It's not about us. Fuck us. You don't get nothing. No nut. Nigga, don't nut at all. Don't do none of that shit. Is that what it is?
It's about, let me say this one more time. I want the people in the back to hear me. I want the people in the back of their car when they listen to this podcast understand what I'm trying to say. When we in the bed with a woman, it's not about us, fellas. It's about the woman. She don't give a fuck. If you get your nut off before her, you ain't do a good job, dog. Real talk. Let her get two. Give her two. When you eat her eye, she get her orgasm. And when you give her penetration. We get one, she get two. At the end of the day. If you get one and she don't get nothing, she not pleased.
Nah, but
she's not pleased. So I think we need to grow the fuck up when it comes to opening up sometimes with our sexuality too. When it comes to dealing with women. You know what I'm saying? Because with dealing with women, please her at the end of the day.
You going to... Nah, nigga, explain that shit because in my mind, you know, you eat your act, penetration... Yeah.
Thinking,
you know what I'm saying?
Look, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. When you comfortable enough with a woman, she ain't gotta be your
explain, bro. Stop beating around the fucking bush.
But I gotta put in detail for the people that's listening.
Okay, put in detail. You
what I'm saying
when
is
when the woman da 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 nigga, what do you
mean? Nah, doing? We gotta open up more. We can't just do the penetration and we're done. No.
Nah, you put a thumb in the ass.
Role play too. Role play too.
Yeah, we role
nigga,
play.
I'm the UPS delivery man, and she's the person at the goddamn door at the house that wanted to get the package.
Okay.
And in that box right there is my dick. What's up? You playing role play. You doing the, I'm the prisoner, you the police officer.
I think that's marriage shit.
That's not, no. I'm going to tell you something right now. I've been handcuffed to the bed by a woman before. She used to work at a prison.
That's a no-no, bro.
She a hand, no, I'm going to tell you something right
now. Ass, leave me there.
This was no.
I'm gonna give you all the power.
Jassy, look at
for
that.
You to do some crazy shit to me. Hell no.
I got handcuffed to the bed before. She said, "Stay right there." She got her handcuffs. She said, "You going?" She said, "You going to jail tonight?" I said, "Ooh, I like this. Put me in jail, man. I don't know. I'm playing that shit or whatever." She did that. She wants to do it. I said, "Nah, fuck that. Handcuff me." I said, "Unhandcuff me." Took off the handcuff. I said, "Now I'm gonna tie you up." Did that shit. I did more than what she did, so I'll
bang. So basically, you said get time. More freaky.
Get level it up, fellas. It's not you. If you really think just eating the eye and penetrating a woman is it, then you're going to lose. You think you're going to do that shit for the rest of your life? Think about somebody you could potentially be with. That shit going to get boring.
No, for I get what you're saying, but I think it comes with, you know.
Comfortable. You got
to be comfortable with your woman.
It don't have to be
like right. I do with my woman. Like I've done it with my woman, but I'm not gonna do it with
what's
just
the,
a
what's
random.
The crazy, what's the kinkiest shit you did with your woman, bro?
Damn, you gonna really just put me on blast like that? Shit,
he ain't do nothing. He gonna make something up.
No, I'm not. I'm gonna keep it real with you because I really ain't told you this shit.
You was Tarzan, huh? She was Jane.
Huh?
You was Tarzan, she was Jane.
Nah, I didn't hate ass.
That's man. I did that at 21.
I ate ass.
Dang,
a
kid.
I did that at 21.
That's a big step for me, nigga. I just ain't that freaky.
The thing is about, okay, we're going to talk about eating ass now. Okay, we're going to switch to that topic. You don't do it to everybody. It's not something that's like.
Nah, you don't.
She's, it's a requirement. But if you do it, you just do it.
Okay.
It's not something like, you didn't go in playing like, I'm going to eat your ass tonight, baby. Right. No, it's more so
I
like.
I kind of did, though. I ain't going to lie to you.
For me, when I did, it was in the moment.
I said, you know what? Tonight's your birthday. No, it was Valentine's Day. Shit, let's try some shit.
Even a girl asses, man.
Okay, well, shit. I ain't where you at.
But the thing is, bro, everybody has different sex levels.
Nah, okay. Facts. I'm you know. First of all, I'm not gonna share certain shit, but. I've been freaky with my woman.
Yeah, for sure.
It's certain shit that I just won't be doing. I'm sorry, it's certain shit I won't be doing. I won't be getting my ass ate. I won't be doing that.
I'm going to teach him right now. Never say never, bro. All
right.
Nope. See, he not listening. No, no.
It's been real.
Rudy, sit down, bro.
The Real Deal with the Kill Podcast.
Hey, don't stop the recording right now.
Y'all,
sit
thank
down.
You, Jazz, for being here.
Rudy, you know sit down, bro.
It's a pleasure.
Rudy, sit down.
For you to be here.
Rudy, you get married to your woman.
I'm not getting my ass ate.
You're saying that right. I'm telling you, 40 years old.
You've gotten your ass ate?
By a chick, yeah. By a chick, yeah. She was older than me. I'm 23, 24. She's 32, 33 years old. She's more experienced than me. I didn't say it's a requirement. I didn't say, oh, I need you. No, she was just like, hey, just, you know what I'm saying? She just did what she had to do. We were drunk. And that's why I wanted to start this topic. Because you.
Tell me.
And that's why I started
this topic. I got one question.
Yo. Just say, what's the question? And that's why I say we need this is a fellas talk, bro. We need to talk about shit like this more.
No, we
bro.
Don't.
Yes, we do.
Hell no.
See, that's the thing, bro. That's the thing.
James, what the fuck?
I feel like I know what you meant. What would you ask him?
What you gonna ask?
How?
Yeah, I know.
Because if you were
know
in certain time,
yeah, I want to know too. I want to know.
No, bro. I'm on my back. Okay. No, see, he taking too much. No, bro. Legs was not in the air. No, bro. See, okay.
Hey, it's been real.
See, he's not even listening. So, I'm 23, 24.
You better not take this out either, nigga.
And that's why I want to start this, because we gotta be more mature.
No, nigga.
No, I'm not saying it's gonna happen to every woman. No, she was an older chick who was more experienced. I didn't tell her to do nothing. I didn't think she was going to do some shit like that. She was licking the balls, doing all that type of shit. She go down to the goose, licking between and all that shit. She just went and did it. I wasn't there for some shit for like 5 minutes.
She just went and did it?
Yes, bro. Like, it's not like no shit.
What
like,
the fuck?
Bro, see? Y'all got to.
Yo! All
right.
That's yo. Different. I honestly didn't know guys like that.
It's not a fact. It's not a fact. It's not a fact of like liking it. This is more.
You like this shit?
Get the fuck out of here.
Like, nigga, did you like it or not? Nigga, you might as well own to it.
It was different. It was different.
I mean, yes. It's okay.
It's not. Look, and that's
you was a motherfucker.
We think shit in our culture. We think that shit's gay, but it's a woman. Doing what
I mean, like I bro, said, it's end, about pleasing. Day,
that's like, okay, it's a woman. Think about it. It's equivalent to when you eat a girl ass. A girl's not gonna be like, he ate your ass.
But that's like you said, you're supposed to please your woman in any way.
If that turned her on and that,
but
and that
at
happened,
the same time, and I'm being serious, you know, as long as you and a woman,
yeah.
Hey, you see,
so that's what whatever I'm saying. Goes. You gotta think about what.
That shit funny than a motherfucker.
Of course it's gonna be funny. Hee hee ha ha, nigga got his ass. Hey, whoa, wait, bye chick. Whatever. It's not, we thinking too much into it. It's funny, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Dad, how you feel about that?
It's a little weird.
It's gonna come off a little weird.
Yeah,
and that was the one and only time.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like an everyday thing when I talk to a chick, like, yeah, hey, she like, gonna have to do it. No, it was one time and that happened.
Okay.
So okay. That's what it was. That was, so you know what I'm saying? She was 30. She was 10, almost 10 years older than me.
That's what's up, bro.
So, I mean, I don't give a fuck. Hey, this is a clip. Nigga, shit's going on Instagram. I don't give a fuck.
You going to make this a clip?
I don't give a
fuck. Oh, shit.
Nigga, say the name of this podcast.
Real Deal.
That was some real deal shit right there.
Yeah, that was some real deal.
I ain't that damn real.
That happened one time when I was 23 years old. She was older, so I'm
my nigga sweating his ass off. Man, but see y'all next time on Real Deal with the Kids Podcast. Make sure you like, subscribe, comment, the whole nine. Thank you, the beautiful Miss Jazz.
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun.
Giving us the pleasure of your aura.
Thank you,
queen.
Guys.
And I can't wait for people to hear this music, man. I'm excited
for them too.
Well, you made this music for niggas like Akil out here.
I really did. The experiment.
No, experiment.
The experiment. That's the name of this podcast. The experiment.
Yes, sir.
The fucking experiment.
Yes, sir. We out here. We gone.
Wow, Akil.
Man, what the fuck is that?